This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Vonsland. If you're not learning, then you're stagnant. And if you're stagnant, then you're not evolving and the business isn't progressing. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Pico Technology.
Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? Picoscope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com.
So that was not a movie quote or a music quote or song quote or TV show quote. That is a quote from a professional wrestler named Seth Rollins. I guess I'm going back to the well, if you will, where I guess I've gotten some advice from multiple resources, fellow podcasters, that it's worthwhile to kind of flip through your quote unquote catalog. And I've done a few things where I reference professional wrestling like I'm some ultra fan. And I have to assure you, I'm not. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure the last match I watched. I didn't watch the whole event. I watched the last retirement match between John Cena and Gunther. Not even because I'm a huge fan of Cena. I guess I would probably be a bigger fan of Gunther, who's very old school, if you will. But really just, I don't know, out of respect, I guess. If I, you know, name another big professional athlete or an actor, actress, performer that they are absolutely doing their final film, I would probably watch it. Or television show episode, I would probably watch it. Or musical performer too, right? I'd watch that at an online concert. I'd probably watch it. Like Ozzy Osbourne. I'm not the biggest Ozzy Osbourne fan, but I watched that tribute to him that he was alive for. So that's a lot how I operate, I think. A lot of life and what we do in our profession really translates back and forth between us and professional wrestling. It just does. I guess the subject I've kind of picked for today, the idea of the part-time performer. So you can go way back. When I was a little kid, there was the first ever WrestleMania. I didn't see it until I was much, much older. It was on VHS. We rented it. And when they had, I guess, movie rental stores, we didn't have a Blockbuster, but a lot of independent video rental places. Honestly, I got to level with you. We had gas stations you could rent movies from. We had grocery stores that had movies you could rent, stuff like that. You'd rent the VCR. So my first time ever seeing WrestleMania was on VHS. And it was one of the movies I got to rent on, you know, whatever arbitrary time we rented movies as a kind of a reward, probably for getting enough wood stored up for the winter because we burned when I was a kid for heat and heat only. And then as got older, we switched over to a boiler that then supplied not just heat for the house, but hot water or was the primary. And so oftentimes that was kind of a reward. Was if we get this stuff all done, we get ready for this, that, or the other, we'll go rent a VCR, we'll go rent some movies. And anyways, that first WrestleMania, I don't know if you recall, I don't think you have to be a fan to know about it, but it was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, with Cowboy Bob Orton. Yes, Randy Orton's dad. In their corner with his cast. Roddy Piper had a big problem with Mr. T because he was not one of them. He was not a professional wrestler. He was from the outside. It took a lot of pleading with him to allow Mr. T to come in. And I don't think Roddy agreed to put them over or let them win, but to sell. It took a lot for Roddy to sell Mr. T's stuff. These are technical terms, got to be on the level with you, that to sell means to act like something hurts. And stuff is whatever you know, punches, kicks, suplexes, body slams, whatever offensive move. If you sell it, you make it look like it hurt. You act like it hurt. The reason being is Mr. T at the time was a name, and WrestleMania had a whole bunch of them, right? I think Muhammad Ali was there as a special referee. I think Liberace, who I vaguely remember, I think he played piano. I know he was a performer, music performer of some sort, but I don't remember him all that well. But he was there. Mr. T at the time was part of the television show, The A-Team, and is very, very popular. And he, of course, was, I think, at a show where Roddy Piper was beaten on Hulk, and then Mr. T came to his rescue, and that rubbed Roddy the wrong way. But the thing was, the big picture was, it wasn't really about the script. It was about the money. People that came to the events, and namely with, I think, WrestleMania, they did closed circuit TV, which is somewhat like pay-per-view. That's where the money was. And Roddy needed to understand that making Mr. T look good didn't hurt him as bad as he was thinking it would. All worried that he's all about protecting the business, which means he needs you as a fan to believe everything in that ring is real. Everything they do is real. They are really fighting. I think that was called kayfabe, or was part of kayfabe. Didn't want to do it. Took a lot of coaching up from Vince McMahon. Took a lot of coaching up from other wrestlers. Hulk Hogan, who Roddy didn't much care for. But he did it. You know, they got their big payday. And then throughout time, it was common for a professional wrestler to go, I would say, especially with Hogan, into acting and into Hollywood. You got to see that happen more and more often. Cena absolutely was doing that. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, maybe the biggest of them all when it came to that. Stone Cold Steve Austin a little bit, right? I think he's in The Expendables and a couple other movies, not to the degree that The Rock is. But when they come back, a lot of times they do really well, right? They've been out of it for a while. They've been doing their Hollywood thing. And the guys who've been there working, you know, day after day, however many nights or days, if you will, I mean, days, performances a year, sometimes two in a day, somebody that's been out of it now for months, year, comes back and they have a really good showing. A lot of times winning. Like winning not just matches, but winning titles. It's a tough pill to swallow. You know, I'm in here paying my dues, busting my hump, and then you just waltz back in here and I got to put you over, and then they're going to hang the title on you. What the hell? And it's like this big dig, but it isn't about that. It's about the money. These people are draws. They bring eyes. People spend money. That's what it's all about. It seems like very few got that. And even John Cena, if you get bored one day and running out of stuff to watch on like YouTube, you can find John Cena talking about where he misunderstood that with The Rock. The Rock came back, and I think John Cena was going to have to put him over in an event and give him the title. And he was very upset about it. He was very annoyed about that. And he missed the point. And then he figured it out later. I think even years later, and had to go apologize, not had to, but chose to go apologize. I misunderstood this. I disrespected you. And The Rock, of course, is cool because he had similar feelings with Hulk Hogan, right? And it just goes on and on. Brock Lesnar is kind of another one. He doesn't necessarily go out and do Hollywood, but he does limited shows, and he's not the locker room presence that like The Undertaker was. The Undertaker for a while was really only doing WrestleMania, and he'd come back and he'd win. And honestly, those times he'd come in and put on a hell of a match, leave broken, physically destroyed, and take the better part of a year to get in shape to go back and do it again. But he was such a locker room presence. He had so much respect behind that curtain. Nobody complained. Or very, very few complained. I think there's a couple that may have, CM Punk in particular. But for the most part, no one thought anything of it. Lesnar would do that and people had issues, but he had some street cred, at least with his UFC runs. And honestly, he demonstrated, I would say, how to handle that with Goldberg. Again, this is getting into, if you're not into wrestling now, I'm just rattling off a whole bunch of names that you probably have never heard of or could care less about. But I promise you, I have a method to my madness. Bill Goldberg was at one time the draw for WCW, a competitor of WWE and part of those Monday Night Wars. He kind of looked like another version of Stone Cold Steve Austin, only he didn't talk. It was best not to let him have a microphone. But he just mowed through the competition, and he just, whatever, he clicked with the fans. He did not click with people behind the curtain so good. He's gone for quite a while. He's aged. He had other things going on. But he had a family, right? Namely a son. And he kind of wanted to show his son that side of him again. And that superhero. That's what Goldberg used specifically, was he wanted his kid to see him like a superhero again. So WWE calls and he accepts on rather short notice. And if you watched, again, hit YouTube, they'll show you the clips where he comes back and you can tell like he's been working out really hard to get in shape, but he's kind of paying a price and he's older, right? I think he was 50 or so. You could see the struggle, the timing, the strength just wasn't the same. But Lesnar was going to be the main opponent. Lesnar had the idea of letting Goldberg win. I think it was like 3 times in a row, like beat him somewhat badly. The big thing being like Lesnar playing the role of underestimating his opponent and just played it brilliantly. And then for the final, at least for that run, if you will, that match, he beats Goldberg, gets his title back.
Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The Picoscope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high-voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool. It's your future. Be the expert in EV repair. Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com.
So how in the world does this translate into an auto repair shop? Maybe there's a part-time employee that comes in and does something. I don't think so. Maybe, but I doubt it. That really wasn't where I was going. I was going with, what if you have a specialist? What if you have a technical specialist or a mechanical specialist who maybe they're there every day, but they really only focus on one area, but they do it really, really well? What if you've got an alignment person, alignment tech, alignment specialist? That's really all they do. Like maybe even to the point where they don't do so many suspension part replacements. Like literally their day is drive the car onto the rack, compensate, whip out an alignment, and maybe some of those alignments require drilling and grinding and all that. But if they find a bad part, maybe they do it. Maybe they replace the ball joint or the control arm. Maybe they don't. Maybe that thing gets bounced to an undercar specialist or somebody else because there's, you know, whatever, 8, 9, 10 other alignments sitting outside that got to get done. So this person runs that thing out, runs the next one in, but they've got the reputation around town. They're the one where customers are walking through the door going, hey, so-and-so sent me. They said, I got to have my car looked at by the alignment guy, the alignment specialist, the alignment girl, the alignment tech. I'm told I'm supposed to talk to this person. They need to look at my car. I've had my car to this place and I was at, you know, whatever cafe, and they told me you have to bring it to this shop and have so-and-so. They're the best. There's probably not happening for the brake tech, the brake specialist, right? Maybe, but probably not. It's not some big dig. But if you've got somebody like that you work with and they're legitimately good, and maybe even beyond that, they have that reputation, instead of getting ego, letting your ego get involved and letting envy, I mean, envy is part of it, but just that condescension get involved and get in your head. Lean into it because they're bringing cars in the door. It's all about the profit, right? It's all about the, well, maybe not all about it, but the shop needs profit, right? Businesses need to profit. That's all there is to it. Ethically profit. By ethically, I mean, be honest. That's the ethical profit. You do what you say you're going to do and you stand behind it. That's what it is. You've got that specialist, whatever that is, whatever area of repair that ends up being where there's a reputation of that's the tech, that's the person, that's the specialist. We got somebody here that rebuilds transmissions, rebuilds differentials. Of course, I suppose drivability or diagnostics, electrical, maybe an accessory person, somebody that installs accessories, radios, backup cameras, TPMS, maybe if they're working on trailers or campers, right? They, over time or whatever it is, have that reputation that people walk through that door because they're there. They are there. And instead of being upset about it, instead of thinking to yourself, why or what the hell, leaning into it, promoting them more. I suppose you do risk their ego going crazy. I doubt it, right? Because usually when you're a specialist, you might have some confidence about what you're good at, that specialty area. Everywhere else, not so much. And you know that the shop can't survive on just what you do or they do, right? If you're that specialist, you know there's more to it than just that, that you need all the components, right? The sports analogies are easy, right? And if you're an outside shooter, that's great. You're an important piece. Need somebody to play defense. Need somebody to rebound. Need somebody to score inside. Need somebody to pass you the ball. Need somebody to set a screen. Okay. Football. Need somebody to throw you the ball. Need somebody to hand you the ball. You need somebody to block so you have an open place to run. You need a defense. It's like, it's hard to have a big ego when your talents are very focused and you might be very good at that thing, but you know, it's not the end all be all. If you have that type of person that you get to work with, lean into it, push them even more, mention them to your friends and family. And when you're out and about, and then yeah, for yourself to find what it is you're good at and lean it, work into that, or maybe not so good at, but you could be. It's at least worth investing to try to, and maybe you end up quite good at it. Maybe you don't. And maybe you don't end up being that person that people walk in the door asking for, but you're in the shop that has somebody like that and you're benefiting from it because it's more cars, more tickets, higher tickets. What other way is there to make more money? So lean into it. You know, if you can find something that a service that the shop could provide and, you know, see a need, fill a need, maybe you can find that spot for you too. But, you know, are you really doing it because you're trying to make more money for the shop, you know, improve your income, your expendable income and work environment and all the things? Or are you doing it because you just really want somebody to walk through the door asking for you? And then that's not always all it's cracked up to be. That's kind of cool the first few times, but after a while, it's just a lot of expectations. And sometimes, I don't know, it just, after a while, you wonder if really anybody can live up to that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, to just come in with these ideas of what can be done. And man, if you can do something to help them, you're relieved rather than like your ego swells. I guess be careful what you wish for. Yeah. So that's really my idea. I'm sure there's plenty more things we can go back to the professional wrestling well over and over again. And I don't even mean that dismissively. Like, I think there's a strong argument for it, as there are many other things, but I just felt that that is an important thing, that you can kind of get lost and let certain feelings take over that end up negatively impacting you and the shop. And really for just not really good reason. Like, it's completely understandable and got to find a way to look at it from a slightly different perspective. And I think that's, if they're bringing in more cars, that's more chances for the shop to sell more work, more ethical work. It needs it. increase the number of tickets, increase the amount per ticket. That should be good for everybody. And whatever you can do to help that, and if that means you've got somebody that you work with that has a reputation that you can help get even more widespread and bring in more work, it's really not a bad use of your time and efforts. So that is how I will leave you. I hope you got a kick out of this. See where I'm going with that. And yeah, if you have other better examples of that, don't hesitate to shoot me an email at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find me on social media. And you guys have been sending a lot of really good emails. Again, I really, really appreciate that. And although nobody's outright said they enjoy the mailbag type episodes, I haven't gotten anywhere people say they dislike them. So let me know what you think of those, because I think I have enough questions. I could do another one. And I enjoy doing them, especially when we can kind of do the automotive specific ones and a little bit outside and dance around a little bit. I'll just talk about all the really interesting things going on and around our industry and our profession, ourselves, our world, and our universe. So before I take off here, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Pico Technology. Thank the Automotive Repair Podcast Network for making this all possible, and remind you again to just take a quick look at that app of theirs and download it. Give it a try. I think you might like it. Used to listen to mine or the stuff on the network really one way, and it was fine for me. And now that I have the app and I've used it a few times, it's kind of the way. This is the way. That is how I'll leave you. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z with Matt Fonslow on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Want Matt to cover a specific topic? Check the show notes for his email. Your input matters.